Hello, I'm Dave Miller. It's Think Out Loud. Today in the show, we'll hear about a push to let beavers be beavers and build their dams in the interest of restoring salmon habitat. We'll talk about a big legal change for a handful of tribes around the country, including the Umatilla Reservation. Prosecutors there now have the authority to go after non-natives who are accused of domestic violence. Plus, should someone with a terminal illness be able to take medicine that hasn't yet been approved by the FDA? That's all coming up. We start with mountain bikes. As of today, they are no longer allowed in the Riverview Natural Area. That's a park in southwest Portland, not too far from our studios. It had been a popular spot, but the city recently decided it's going to ban mountain biking on the park's trails. The bikers are not going down without a fight. They have a planned protest ride for today at 4 p.m. For more, I'm joined by Jonathan Maas, editor and publisher of BikePortland.org. Good to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me.
What's special about these trails in this particular park?
I think primarily it's their proximity to where everybody lives. We don't have any places in Portland that you can really ride a narrow trail with a bicycle in, on dirt in forested areas without having to drive your car 45 minutes or an hour away. So it's very valuable to have them so close to town.
When I go to Forest Park, I often see bikers zooming up – well, zooming down and then going up Leif Erikson, for example. What kinds of options do people have in Forest Park or other parks in town?
That's precisely it. People in Forest Park can ride on the roads, the larger fire access roads. There's only one-third of a mile of actual single-track trail that was designed specifically for biking and where bikers can actually legally ride. So imagine if you're walking in a park, would you rather walk on a nice little hiking trail where you can really get intimate with nature, or would you want to be on a large road with a lot of other people? It's just a different experience, and people that ride bikes also want to have that trail experience.
In the letter by Commissioners Fritz and Fish, they wrote, exercising an abundance of caution and to protect the city's investment in the area, they're going to be limiting activities there to passive nature-based recreational uses, hiking, wildlife viewing, stewardship, education, research, etc. The argument there is that there is something damaging about mountain biking. What's your response?
It's an unfortunate thing to say because there's no committee, there's no research, there's no study, there's just no consensus at all about whether or not or how much damage biking has on the trails versus other things. The Technical Advisory Committee for the Riverview Project itself actually pointed out some real threats: off-leash dogs, illegal camping, climate change, trails that have been built by both walkers and bikers, just sort of these rogue trails. None of those specifically said biking is somehow mutually exclusive with this ecological area. So it's a real problematic thing that the city's coming out and essentially defaming mountain biking to some degree and throwing it under the bus in terms of its damage to the environment, which is an open question, and it's just not fair.
In your mind, I mean, if you see bikers zooming up and down these dirt trails, you think that it has no more damage than people walking through those trails or running through those trails?
Absolutely. And I would caution your word zoom, because you know that's something that people tend to do because we have an image of what mountain biking is. We think it's about downhill and going super fast and being really crazy, but that's actually a misperception. That's not necessarily how a lot of people ride their mountain bikes.
But it can be the way. That word maybe it's not always that way,
right?
But I've definitely seen mountain bikers zooming through trails.
Right. And people can also illegally camp in these areas and put a lot of trash on the ground. People can also have their off-leash dogs traipsing through streams and killing fish and damaging the environment. But we haven't taken the step of banning those uses. What the city's done is taken this preemptive step to ban bicycling by singling out one user group. So, you know, the other thing about the statement you read is it's very vague. I mean, after having a public process or quote unquote public process, that's as much detail as Commissioners Fritz and Fish have offered. I don't think that's a fair way to hold a process. It's not a process at all. What happened is it was a unilateral decision that they haven't explained. And it came out of nowhere and surprised people on both sides of the issue. I've talked to conservationists who are also really surprised, had no idea this was happening, and who also, as a matter of fact, support biking in this park if it's done right. That's the other key part of what you asked. If you build the trails right, specifically for bicycles, there's absolutely a way you can ride without damaging the ecology.
I should point out that we did ask if Commissioner Fritz wanted to join us today, and her office said she was not available to be on the show today. So would your hope be for dedicated mountain biking trails as opposed to shared paths for hikers and bikers?
I think we could probably do both, and a lot of other cities have done both. That's been one of the frustrations that's building among the mountain bike community here in Portland, is just like what happened with Forest Park, where they were shut out of that area after a long process. There wasn't this ability from the city to look creatively at the problem. Other cities with urban natural areas and urban parks where mountain biking is allowed, they've come up with any number of creative solutions: on-off days, shared trails, dedicated trails for biking or walking. There's a lot of different things we can do. Unfortunately, the city's taken this stance of this dichotomy. It's either this false dichotomy, which is either we can protect this ecological watershed area or we can bike, but we can't have both. It's just – it doesn't make any sense.
Now, they did also say in that letter that they're asking for a comprehensive off-road biking plan. So it's not like they're not pushing for something. And they said that this would cost $350,000. So it's going to take community involvement to get the city to actually pony up that money. Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, I think the chances of that happening have gotten a lot worse now that that they've basically disrespected this huge user group that was actually lobbying for this plan. So the mountain bike community was in the meeting when they got told they couldn't ride their bikes in Riverview. They came to that meeting thinking they may hear some good news. They came to that meeting with a letter signed by the League of American Bicyclists, a national group supporting the off-road cycling master plan and encouraging it to get funded. And then they got told that they couldn't ride their bikes anymore in Riverview. And then at the end of the meeting, they said, oh, and we hope you support this effort. So there's a lot of trust that's been lost. So I'm not sure how much the willingness is now of advocates to come and be involved in a process when the process just got totally thrown in their face.
Now, you cover biking issues all around Portland in various ways. How much power, political power, or how vocal would you say the mountain biking or off-road community in biking is compared to commuters or racers or sort of road bike people?
Well, we're going to see today, it's probably going to be the largest demonstration they've ever done in terms of advocacy around biking and advocacy around off-road biking in this town. I mean, we don't hear about them as much. Northwest Trail Alliance is really the big group. We don't hear about them as much simply because we're not making any news about mountain biking in this town. So there's not really much for them to talk about in terms of issues. They're working regionally with Oregon State Parks, the Bureau of Land Management. I mean, that group almost single-handedly helped build Sandy Ridge Trails, which is a national success. So they've worked really great with a lot of land managers, but there's this unfortunate dynamic with the city of Portland, both the Parks Bureau and the Bureau of Environmental Services, where they haven't been able to get to where they can really work together yet. Actually, I should correct myself. They were working together really well for these last few years, but this has really sort of poisoned the relationship to some degree. So I'm not sure what's going to happen next.
Joe on Twitter seems to agree with you, saying Portland strung the mountain biking community along, allowing them to be engaged, building trails, etc., then pulled the trails out from under them. But I guess my last question gets to what kind of a political impact you think this community can have. How powerful are they?
That's an ongoing question. We're going to see what the commissioners are going to do. Unfortunately, what we've seen in this town in terms of our politics over and over again is it doesn't necessarily matter, unfortunately, how many people you can get to support your cause, let's say. I mean, the group that's working on this protest, right, affiliated groups, they got over 50,000 people over 3,000, 4,000 people on a signature just to ask for off-road trails. The numbers are there. But what we've seen repeatedly, unfortunately, in Portland City Hall is that you could just have one or two very influential and powerful people make a phone call to the right person, and it can sway an important issue like this. And that's really unfortunate.
What's going to happen at the protest today?
Well, what's going to happen is you're going to see probably 400 people at least on bicycles. Because it rained over the weekend, no one's going to touch the trails because that's just not what you do. Any respectable off-road biker knows that you don't ride a trail if it's wet. Basically, if you can see your tire track, you shouldn't be on it because it can damage the trail.
And that's a safety consideration for the biker or consideration for the trail itself?
It's consideration for the trail ecology and maintaining a good trail because you don't want to be slipping your wheel out, and you don't want to be – when you have mud, the tires sink further into the dirt. You know, so it's like if you've ever been hiking and you've seen horse footprints, damp, you know, big pock marks, that kind of thing. So what's going to happen is all the people are going to be up on the road above Riverview, and there's going to be just a slow ride and probably people talking. It's going to be a demonstration of how many people are upset about this.
Ah, but because of the mud, it's no longer going to be civil disobedience then. The bikers will be on a road where they're allowed to be anyway.
Exactly, right. Previously, the plan was to ride on the trails, but because of the mud, it's a non-starter. You can't do that.
Jonathan Maas, thanks very much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
That's Jonathan Maas, editor and publisher of BikePortland.org, talking to us about the city's recent decision to close off trails in a park near here in southwest Portland to mountain bikers.